The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, August 28, 2018.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, what a wonderful day it is here in Sonoma County. Well, yesterday was August 26th, was Women's Equality Day. 98 years ago, we got the vote, and I will talk about that a bit later. Also, I have two special guests with me today. Joining me in the studio this morning is Shekinah Black, who is the coordinator of the Peace and Justice Center. She will be giving us an update on some of the activities happening at the Peace and Justice Center and to talk about their third annual concert in the Hub. That's a really interesting name. I love this. Also joining me in the studio is one of my favorite people, Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence, who is the CEO and founder of Legacy Showcases. And we're going to talk about a free discussion group on racism that's happening at the main library in Santa Rosa this evening. I'm really looking forward to it. A very timely topic. And a topic all of us need to talk about. You know, I mean, I saw this film that I would recommend. It's called An Uncomfortable Truth, and I saw it on Prime Television, and the whole idea about the uncomfortable truth is talking about racism, that we are afraid to talk about it, and it lives within each of us, you know, and it's a very subtle kind of thing. So I really encourage people to check out this free discussion group that's happening tonight at the main library in downtown Santa Rosa. Well, like I said, yesterday was Women's Equality Day, and I want to tell folks just a little bit about what Women's Equality Day is about. It's 98 years ago, which is hard to believe. In 2020, it's going to be 100 years since we got the vote. And it was very interesting this morning listening to Amy Goodman do a review of my condolences go out to the family of Congressman John McCain, who passed away. And it was kind of interesting listening to what they were talking about how war has been supported over the years and how different it would be if we talked more about peace and encouraged more peace. But my condolences go out to the family. No matter who dies, no matter what their politics, no matter what their philosophy is, it's painful to the family, and my condolences go out to all of them. And you know, when something like this happens, maybe it helps you to develop more compassion when other folks lose their family members. I mean, we all suffer the same way. I mean, we all grieve, we all suffer, we all miss. So it's something to really think about. So let's talk a little bit about Women's Equality Day. Women's Equality Day is celebrated in the United States on August 26th to commemorate the 1920 adoption of the 19th Amendment to the United States Constitution, which prohibits the state and the federal government from denying the right to vote to citizens of the United States on the basis of sex. It was first celebrated in 1973 and is proclaimed each year by the United States President. Well, I'm not sure. I'm going to have to check it out. Anybody hear President Trump proclaim Women's Equality Day? I didn't hear it, but I'm going to check it. And the whole idea behind Women's Equality Day was to commemorate, you know, the fact that we did get the vote. But if you watch Iron Jawed Angels, which is a film that talks about getting the vote, the last leg of the suffrage movement from 1916 to 1920, and you realize that we only got the vote by one vote. It didn't sound like these men were so thrilled to give us. At that time, it was all males in the Congress, all males in the Senate. You know, there was never even a chance or a thought of having a woman run for president. So, I mean, it's an amazing thing, the fact that we do have Women's Equality Day, that we did get the vote, and that right now, in 2018, we're looking at the possibility, but I don't think it's going to happen, not if women stand up and really decide. Oh, Donald J. Trump, did he do it? Oh, excuse me, I stand corrected, thank you. Presidential Proclamation on Women's Equality Day 2018. Thank you, President Trump, for sticking up and standing and coming forward to the plate to honoring women. So I stand corrected, and that's good. And thank you so much, Ken. You know, it's so wonderful having a beautiful, wonderful engineer, particularly with blue eyes. I mean, that is really, really important. Anyway, the date was chosen to commemorate the day in 1920 when Secretary of State Bainbridge Colby, that's interesting, Bainbridge Colby signed the proclamation granting American women the institutional right to vote. Isn't that something? Following the 19, it gave the institutional right to vote. And what's so interesting, in 1971, following the 1970 nationwide women's strike for equality, and again in 1973, the battles over the Equal Right Amendment still continue. And right now, keep your fingers crossed, I believe we only have one more state to go. You know, it's taken us almost 100 years to get equal rights. I mean, come on. You know, we should be pissed off. That's all I can say. But anyway, happy Women's Equality Day yesterday, and a special shout out to the folks at the Progressive Festival for honoring that day. I really was appreciated. And a special shout out to my dear friend Judith Iam for making sure that announcement was made on Sunday at the Progressive Festival. Well, let's see what else that we have. Okay, today is the last Monday of the month. Isn't that amazing? The last Monday of the month. I want to know. I want to report. Where did August go? I mean, I can't believe that this is the last Monday of the month and we are doing the pledge. It's just amazing. Time is flying. And as I've mentioned many, many times, you know, I'm becoming a great grandmother. And hey, September 9th is the due date. That's just around the corner. I mean, I am so excited. I mean, part of me, you know, because I'm so disturbed about what's happening in the world, part of me thinks, oh my goodness, another beautiful child coming into the world with all the trials and tribulations of just being a human being. I mean, just think of your own process from birth to wherever you are right now. And I was talking to my grandson. It was so interesting, you know, and he says, you know, Grandma, I know how you feel. I know how you feel about the children in the world and some of the suffering that's going on. But, you know, we have to give birth to good people. We have to train them to love and to be peacemakers. And that's what we want to do. And I says, well, you know, this is a world of single parents and all that. And he says, no, we're going to stay together. We've made a commitment to each other and we've made a commitment to our child. Oh my goodness. How mature is that? I mean, I was totally blown away with that conversation. So a shout out to my grandson, Ryan, and his beautiful wife, Amber, and blessings to our new child that's coming into our family, Satora Trinity. And hey, if all of us had that idea around children, if all of us realize that children are the future, we give them good love, we give them a good, as best we can, you know, we have a much better future, that's for sure. Well, it's the last Monday of the month, and we're going to do the pledge, and I ask, Shekinah is here in the studio with me, and I ask you to please join me. The first thing, first of all, just to remind you, once again, I wrote the pledge for my grandson, Ryan, who is about to become a father, so, I mean, it's just amazing. He was about 5 years old, and he was coming out of daycare, and he started crying, and I says, Ryan, what's the matter? He says, my teacher said I'm a bad, bad boy. I mean, my heart. I says, oh, hey, your teacher doesn't have control over you. Your self-esteem doesn't depend on that teacher. And we wrote this little pledge together. And every time I picked him up, we said it. And when he graduated with his bachelor's degree from Santa Cruz in environmental studies, he came walking down the hill. There's a beautiful hill that they come down. And guess what he was doing? He saw his grandmother down there, and he repeated the pledge. Well, I'll tell you, if there was a moment in my life that I felt totally complete and totally just such a feeling of love and connection with this young man, and I looked at him and I thought, boy, it takes a village to raise a child. You know, it takes a village. Imagine if we would have just let that teacher decide that he was a bad boy and he carried that with him for the rest of his life. What does that do? How does that help? How does that develop a good, strong future for that child? So thank you, Ryan. Thank you. Thank you for making me a great grandmother, and thank you for this wonderful pledge. So I'm going to say it first. I'll say one line at a time. And if you folks could join me, I would appreciate it. So here we go. My self-esteem
does not depend
on anything
outside of me.
My self-esteem
depends
on my relationship
with myself
and my higher power. Boy, that is so powerful. Think of that. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Now, higher power, you know, everybody has their own idea of a higher power. Some people believe, you know, it's a rose. You know, some people believe in God. Some people believe in Jesus. Some people believe in Muhammad. I mean, there's such a variety. In fact, Ken and I, when we were in Germany, we went to the Neanderthal Museum, and I think we saw about 10 different interpretations of love your neighbor as yourself. You know, it's five. He just raised his five interpretations. So the whole idea of love your neighbor as yourself, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you don't know who you are, if you don't know what you like, how can you accept? You know, how do people know how to treat you? Most of us want to be treated with dignity, respect. You know, it doesn't matter how much money you have in your pocket or what kind of home. You're a human being. You're part of the human family. We need to respect. We need to honor. We need to take care of one another. You know, that's the whole idea. But again, you know, if we don't feel good about ourselves, if our self-esteem is kind of on a low level, then that's how we project onto the world. That's why it's so important, particularly for women, because this is a time, ladies. 2020, we are going to celebrate 100 years since we got the vote. The whole idea behind getting the vote was so we would put an end to war. So no mother would ever send her child to kill another mother's child. And here we are 100 years later, and we're warring more than we've ever warred. And I believe, this is my personal belief, I believe that women have not raised their self-esteem enough to stand up and speak out for themselves as well as the children, because the children are our future. And it's so important. When I look and I see what's happening with our young people, I have never in my life experienced so many overweight children because of some of the foods they're eating. So if you love your neighbor as yourself, if you love children, if you believe in the future, you look at all levels of how we can take care of one another. But once again, you need the self-esteem to stand up and talk and say it like it is. It's not an easy proposition. And you know what's so wonderful? I'm really excited. Dr. Lawrence is not here yet. I have my fingers crossed. But what's so amazing about what Jacqueline Lawrence is doing is she's got the courage and the self-esteem to put it on the table. Let's talk about racism. Let's see what's going on with each one of us. Very, very important. So just for a moment, kind of sit down. If you're driving in your car, you know, just keep driving. If you're at home, just sit in a chair and just relax. And I'm going to say the pledge very, very slowly. Just absorb it. Take it in. And also, if you would like a copy, go to www.womenspaces.com, and you can just hit copy and go on to your word and make a copy. Or if you would like to become a member of KBBF by going on to the KBBF station, and there's a little tab, www.kbbf.org. There's a little tab that says donation. I'll talk to Edgar and make sure he lets me know if anybody donated from this show, and I'll be happy to send you a special card with the pledge on it. I mean, it's become a real signature for us, and I'm really happy about it. I'm happy that people take things like that very seriously. Well, I have one more announcement to make. And that is, a very special thing is happening in Petaluma on September 15th, and I really believe that you need to mark your calendar. It's from noon to 6 p.m. It's the annual picnic and community outreach for called Petaluma Black, and I want to do a shout-out to Faith Ross and Gloria Robinson in Petaluma, because they're the ones who are doing it. It's going to be from noon, it's going to be from noon to 6 p.m., and it's going to be at McNair Park on 11th Street and G. So it's really, you know, what's so beautiful about the Petaluma Blacks is they welcome all people. And, like we're going to be talking tonight about racism at the library. And this is another way to integrate, to meet your African-American friends, your African-American neighbors, just to get a little more comfortable with one another. You know, what was so interesting about the movie, An Uncomfortable Truth, was it really laid it on the line is how uncomfortable we are with one another, and that's because we don't know each other. When you know somebody, when you sit down and have a cup of coffee with them, when you find out about their family, about their children, about whatever cold or disease they're fighting or whatever's going on, you begin to see, hey, we're just human beings. You know, maybe our exterior looks different, but so what? You know, we have 10 different kinds of flowers. We have purple flowers, we have red flowers, we have yellow flowers in our backyard. I mean, I don't see them fighting. So this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to get together and to know folks. So that's going to be Saturday, September 15th from noon to 6 p.m. at McNair Park in Petaluma. That's at 11th Street and G Street. And again, a shout out to my dear friend Faith Ross and Gloria Robinson for doing that. Well, we covered a lot this morning, that's for sure. Lots to think about. But that's what Women's Spaces is all about, you know, to start thinking about these things, thinking about the future of our children, thinking about what self-esteem does and why it matters. You know, thinking of becoming involved in the future. I mean, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be taking a musical break, and we're going to be talking to Shekinah Black when we come back. And she's a coordinator of the Peace and Justice Center. We're going to talk about a little bit of history of the center, how people can get involved, maybe become volunteers, and then talk about this wonderful, I mean, this is the third annual event. I had no idea that it was so new, and it sounds like it's something that Shekinah might have kind of helped organize, because she, don't you work for the,
I have my own business called The Miracle Production, so I produce a lot of shows
right,
for different people.
So this is just another one. I remember when I first met Shekinah. Oh my goodness, what a wonderful friend she's turned out to be.
Likewise, Elaine, thank you.
We're going to take a musical break, and again, you know, I'm playing this song because it's called No More War by Betsy Gibbs, and the reason that I'm playing it is because to remind folks, particularly my women listeners out there, and of course, if you guys, you know, you want to get a little history, don't let me stop you, but to remind folks out there, to just remind them that the reason that we thought that we fought so hard to get the vote was we were going to bring an end to war. You know, after they wrote the Mother's Day Proclamation, and all of a sudden they said, no mother will kill another mother's son. After that happened, then they went into trying to get the vote. And it took us almost 100 years to get the vote. And then we only got the vote by one vote. So, I here we are. You know, ladies, I want to ask you a question, and I'd like you to answer it by sending me an email at elaine@womenspaces.com. What is it in the male population that created us as secondary citizens when we as women are the ones who bring forward the children, the future? Not only do we bring forward the children, we nurture them. Their life could not go on if we did not sustain them. I mean, our breast alone. You know, and there's such controversy over breastfeeding. You know, it's okay to go kill somebody, you know, in some war, but God forbid you should feed your child, breastfeed him by a Subway or something. I mean, that's criminal. I mean, that just doesn't make sense to me. So when you listen to this song, No More War, that's the idea. The idea, when you think of the suffrage almost 100 years ago, marching, being waterboard, all the different things. That's why I encourage my listeners to listen to Iron Jawed Angels, because it lets you know of the struggle women had from 1916 to 1920. So let's listen to No More War, sung by Betsy Gibbs, and I will be dedicating this song to all the women who have come forward and are speaking truth and rising up and becoming change makers. Our time is now. How dare these men think they have control over us and our bodies? We want equality on all levels. We want a better future for our children and their children. The Native American custom is to plan ahead for 7 generations. At the rate we are going, what will it look like in 7 generations? It's a big question. And when I return, I will be talking to Shekinah Black, who is the coordinator for the Peace and Justice Center. Like I said, she will be giving us an update on some of the activities happening at the Peace and Justice Center and talk about their 3rd annual concert in the Hub.
Peace on earth.
if women ruled the world, there'd be no more war. Oh, I wonder. You know, also, you know, it's interesting because there are many women that are serving right now. How come we still have war? How come some of them still vote for it? Because there's not enough women there that where women can just be women and worry about the future of the children. They kind of have to put on this persona, you know, of, hey, I can do it. I'm tough, you know. Well, it's kind of interesting. Anyway, for you folks just joining us, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce one of my favorite people. My guest in the studio with me is Shekinah Black, who is the coordinator for the Peace and Justice Center. Hi, Shekinah, and welcome. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine, for having me back. I appreciate it. Yeah. I appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you being here, and I understand that you had a person in your family passed away. Who was that?
Yeah, it's my the father of my four children, my ex-husband, his long-term partner just passed, so we're all a bit stunned. It was sudden, and she was younger than, you know, I mean, we all have to go, but anyways, it was a hard one for our family, so we're all coming together for a service later today.
What was her name?
Her name is Jamie.
Well, we'll send our condolences to the family and
thank
wish
you.
Jamie a speedy recovery. I mean, on her way.
Her ascension,
you know?
Yes,
she's
indeed.
She's going, who knows, the
right.
great mystery.
Right.
I mean, if we could just understand that we just live in this mystery, that, you know, and just get along, wouldn't it be a great world?
Yes.
Well, let me tell our listeners just a little bit about you. I love to talk about and kind of brag about my guests because there's so much that women are doing, especially in our community. It's just amazing. Well, Shekinah Black has been the center coordinator for the Peace and Justice Center of Sonoma County for 3 years. Oh, my God, where does time go? She grew up in Los Angeles County and moved to Sonoma County in 1986 to attend Sonoma State University, where she earned a degree in theater arts. She went on to earn another bachelor's degree in organizational management and a master's degree in entertainment business. I remember when you were getting your master's degree. She is passionate about music as a way to connect people from diverse backgrounds. Additionally, she has her own business called A Miracle Production that produces bands, concerts, festivals, and events. She does bookings and publicity for shows at the Redwood Cafe in Cotati. She is also director of entertainment for the publication Upbeat Times. In between all this, she's the mother of four children. But right now they're adults, you know, but still, it's still family, it's still getting together, it's still all the little things that happen. Well, very impressive, and thank you so much for coming in, especially at a time like this when you're going through challenges with your own family.
Thank you.
Well,
thanks for having me, Elaine.
3 years!
Well, synchronistically, September 9th is my anniversary, the same day your great-grandchild is due to be born. That's my third anniversary working as the center coordinator of the Peace and Justice Center of Sonoma County.
Wow, that is amazing. That is amazing. Where does time go, you know?
Zips by.
Well, you know, you've been there 3 years. You know, talk a bit about the center. You know, give us, you know, it's like this building that's on Sebastopol Road that, you know, I want, you know, unless you're an activist, most people really don't know, you know, what is
right.
going on there. So give a little history.
Well, one thing you just said is Sebastopol Road, and that is a common mistake people made. It's on Sebastopol Avenue. So often people will show up at Sebastopol Road and say, I can't find you because we are at 467 Sebastopol Avenue, not Road. That's really important. And the other thing I want to say, it's of Sonoma County, so you're right, the building itself is in Santa Rosa, but we are the Peace and Justice Center of Sonoma County, which is a really big county, all the way down to the south in Petaluma, all the way up to the very tip of, you know, Cloverdale and Gualala. That's all, and east and west, you know, county. It's all of the county has issues dealing with peace and social justice.
What has been your biggest challenge working there? Would you say?
I'd say sometimes the personal calls we get with people now newly evicted or on the streets for the first time, and that we don't have the actual resources to help people, but I refer people out to other entities that can. And sometimes people say, well, I've talked to everybody and there's nothing for me. I think we don't have as many services in this county as there once were. You know, I think there's a lot of good intention, but the funding for for all the nonprofits is vanishing, probably to war, right? There's like a direct correlation. We're not educating people. We're sending money off overseas. So,
well, they're right now, you know, the big controversy is around our educational system. I mean, thinking that they're going to privatize everything, you know. I mean, we had at one time a very, very strong public school system. You know, we were rated almost number one in the whole world.
That's right.
Especially, I remember New York. I mean, New York was number uno, you know. They were number one. They were the best, and California was always trying to catch up with it. And now it seems like there's a deterioration. Not only there's a deterioration, but what we're subjected to on television and on the radio. I mean, the violence, I mean, it's just amazing.
Right, that's true.
And also, you sitting there, you probably hear, you're on the pulse, so you probably hear all the real negative stuff or all the things people can't get.
Right, yeah, in terms of services, absolutely. But then there's a lot of, you know, I feel a lot of hope because we're a resource center, the Peace and Justice Center of Sonoma County. We're a resource center and we're a meeting place, so that we're able to help facilitate a place for like-minded groups to meet and to do outreach with some of the groups we are fiscal sponsor for. So perhaps a group may not have their own 501c3 nonprofit, but they can come under our umbrella if our mission statements are similar, and we can help support them, not financially, but help as a fiscal sponsor. So I can talk about that offline with people if they want to get more information.
So what are some of the programs? Like, if I know you have various, I know one of the things that's happening is that you started a film night.
Well, actually, that film night, unfortunately, is no longer like the consistent every twice a month. That is not happening. But once in a while, there are groups that will show films, which is really exciting. But we're just when I look at our scheduling calendar, it's really, really full. So there's some meetings that are open to the public, and then there's some that are private meetings, but they're all like-minded groups with the Peace and Justice Center, with our mission statement, which I have up. Can I read our mission statement?
Thank you.
So the mission of the Peace and Justice Center of Sonoma County is to inform, support, and energize the Sonoma County community to create peace and social justice through active nonviolence. Active nonviolence. That doesn't mean sitting on your couch as a couch potato and doing nothing. It means being active, joining a protest or a march or writing letters, calling Congress people and senators, etc. You know, there's always something. There's always something everyone can do on some level. But if what I see, Elaine, and you're one of these people, there's some people who do way more than their share. And then there's some people who do nothing. So I always make this joke that, well, as long as the mall's open and my latte's hot, everything's cool, man. Well, it's not cool, man. There's so much we need to do as individuals that, you know, just what we were talking about, this endless, endless cycle of war, you know, and then now we're seeing extreme poverty. Like I said, what I see a lot at even pre-fire, where people coming in saying, you know, my landlord's raising my rent. I've never been homeless. I've never not been able to find a place to live. And now we're seeing more and more people. And I personally know lots of people who are working multiple jobs and they have multiple people living with them, you know. So if they're subleasing a room out of their home or letting people couch surf, whatever it is, most people are having to, you know, in a way it's good because it's building community that we're all helping each other. But there's a lot of shortages for a lot of people who are really hardworking people and they can't make ends meet.
You know, that's where I think that people have to pay attention to, that not all homeless people are these crazy, you know, drug addicts or whatever kind of image they have of them. I mean, I was talking to a family member, one of my family members, and we're ranting and raving about, oh, they take drugs. And I say, wait a minute, there's people that are living in their cars that actually have jobs. There are people living in their cars that have children that they have to send to school. I mean, there's all kinds of things happening that we don't see, and to be so judgmental. But, you know, my theory is, you know, going back to the song that we just played, which I thought was very interesting, is if women ruled the world, there'd be no more war. Well, you know, let's just take it in the context. Why is no more war important? you know, because there are some people out there that really believe war is necessary. But why is it, why do we say no more war? Well, if you have no more war, then you have funds that are available to take care of these people. And I mean, imagine if we put money into building instead of destroying. I mean, it would be a bigger picture. Well, I have one last thing to ask you before we get into our conversation about this event that you're having, which is, sounds very exciting. I mean, I can't believe it's the third year, so I know you had something to do with it. But what are people, what are the main topics that people are, what do you find that most people are talking about? I know homelessness.
Right, definitely immigration would be really up there also. You know, there's some groups that are really helping when ICE is in town or whatever, that there's a hotline that people can reach out to get the word out and to help their neighbors, because that is a really terrifying circumstance. And certainly people of color are being absolutely targeted, even though there are people from around the world who have immigrated here. I don't like that word, legally or illegally, whatever. I mean, those boundaries were just arbitrary lines on a map as far as I'm concerned. I know it's much more in depth than that, but just this,
Well, you know, when you say that, it's because it's your humanity, and when you start looking at things and the cruelty and the violations that are going on, you say, wait a minute, you know, all these people wanted some shelter. Why don't we just do it? I mean, you know, just going back, you know, when we start looking at some of the things that happened, like say for example during World War II, when they were having the suppression with the Jews in Nazi Germany, what happened is they sent over a ship called the SS St. Louis, and it was the idea that Hitler sent it out to see who would accept the Jews, and when nobody did, then they felt it was okay to go ahead and do what they did with the Holocaust. And I feel that's the same thing. It's like it's a big test. You know, let's take the kids away from the family. Mm. We'll see if our culture can stand that. You know, let's do this and see if, and, you know, and we're at the point where we can't stand it. And no. That's why the things like rapid response.
Thank you. That's the word, rapid response.
Are so powerful, because it's a way that people say, hey, listen, let's just stop this. Let's take care of people instead of hurting them. So it's really interesting. Well, thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing the mission statement. I think it's very important. And you know, you mentioned something. You mentioned how some people don't do anything and some people do a lot. Well, you know, I really, what I did for myself was, you know, especially around the radio show, and especially because KBBF always asking for community involvement, asking for donation, asking for sponsorship, underwriters. I began to break it up. You know, you got those people who have time and who have energy to go out in the streets, protest, do all those things, organize things. And you have people like yourself who are in organizations that are working part-time, that are helping to do the peace. And plus, you have several other jobs in order to maintain yourself. And then you have people in organizations that are working with environment, etc. And then you have the outside culture that maybe is not doing much. One thing you can do, folks, is you can take your checkbook out and you can support various community organizations, and definitely become a member of radio station KBBF, for heaven's sakes. I mean, look at the conversation we're having and the information we bring out. So there's all kinds of ways people can get involved. But I just wanted to piggyback on that, because it's important to give. And when you donate, it's your way of saying, I disagree. I don't agree, and I support you guys in kind of getting the information out. So that's very important. Okay, so let's talk about this. You know, I'm a little bit anxious. I'm seeing I have a second guest coming in. I hope she's okay. But
indeed,
we'll just continue on with this. And I know you have something coming up. It's called the Concert in the Hub, and I believe this is one of your ideas, and this is your third year. So how did you come up with this, and what is your mission statement behind this event?
Well, I think the main thing for me is to bring people together through music and through celebration. And so when I did interview for the center coordinator position 3 years ago at the Peace and Justice Center, I said, you know, I'm heavily involved with the music scene, and I really need you to know that that's one of the ways I'm going to bring people together. And they were so behind me, the board of directors. And so this is our third annual. I'm really, really pleased with it. I do want to say that the musicians are all, and the DJs are all donating their time. I'm hoping at some point we can get a grant so that we can pay the musicians.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
How do you manage that? How do you manage to get people to donate their time? I mean, that is a skill.
Especially musicians. Well, It's because I have a long-term career over 30 years working in entertainment that, and I know a lot of musicians, and people are behind the Peace and Justice Center and the mission, and so they will do that as a favor, basically, for me when I do my ask. But I know how many hours that musicians put in, and they're so underpaid, no matter if they're getting paid at a gig or not. They're not getting paid for that time as they should properly get paid. So that's a little wish list for next year, that I am looking for a sponsor or sponsors to help pay these musicians. And I know we'll keep the annual concert in the Hub going, whether or not the musicians get paid. But it would be so lovely to be able to pay them what they're worth.
Like to pay all the people that volunteer.
Exactly.
Sometime.
Yes. So it's really, it's great. So, and why Cotati? I think that's an important question, if I may ask it, is, you know, it's once again that people think of the Peace and Justice Center in Santa Rosa, but it is, like I said before, the whole county. And so Michael McCullough, who's the owner over at Redwood Cafe, a few years ago introduced me to Damian Obid, who is the city planner of Cotati, and he said, we want to do this concert. What do you think? And the city council approved it and has subsequently approved it every year. And so we really appreciate that introduction and utilizing that beautiful La Plaza Park space in downtown Cotati, which is the hub. So Cotati, to me, in Sonoma County, is the musical hub of the county. There are musical notes on the freeway. You know, if you're driving under the overpass in Cotati or see the walls on the freeway, there are actually musical notes there. So it is like no other place in the county. And so that's why we want to do it in Cotati.
I want to ask you a question before we go on and you give more of the details. And where do you get your confidence? I mean,
I'm
sitting here listening to you, you know, and I asked you, how are you getting these people to donate, you know, and you're talking about, you know them, you call them, you know, that takes confidence. You're calling somebody, hey, will you work free for me? And they're going, yes, you know, where do you get your confidence?
Thank you so much for saying, I think that's that self-esteem, Elaine. And it took me a long time to cultivate that as personally, to have that confidence. And I would say that's what we need, the legacy for young women, for young men as well, but young women need to have that confidence. And I was recently in New York with my partner and I picked up this button. It says, speak even if your voice shakes. And so I thought, that's it. I don't need to worry about every little oops, I said that word wrong. Or the other day I was interviewed on another station. I gave the Peace and Justice Center email or website address incorrectly. And it's like the old me probably would have been stewing on that. But that doesn't matter. It's just having the confidence of being our authentic self. That's what we need to be.
Well, you said something. You made a mistake. You gave the wrong email address. Well, the philosophy around mistake, if you make a mistake, you need to do a retake to overcome the mistake and then correct it.
That's
and then
right.
Just go on. But people fall apart. You know, I mean, it took me, I'd say, 2 years, and I still have a problem, to listen to the show. You know, I could never watch it when I was on television, you know, and I finally said to myself, what is the matter with you? Why can't you? Here you're doing it. You have the confidence to do it. Why don't you have the confidence to watch it? Well, all of a sudden I realized, well, I'm going to find my errors. I'm going to see maybe I'm stupid. But it's amazing how that self-talk stops us.
Right.
So how did you overcome it? I mean, how did you overcome all that?
I think just living day to day and realizing, you know, don't sweat the small stuff, as the saying goes, and just you move on and it really doesn't matter. You know, it really, those little mistakes don't matter. And even big ones, they're an opportunity for us.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing all this and sharing your confidence. And I mean, I'd like to say, I mean, I just admire you, Shakina.
Thank you so much.
And, you know, it's amazing the work you're doing. And
thank you.
So let's give us a website. Let's tell us where the date is, when this wonderful event is going to be happening, and how they can get a hold of you.
So the website for the Peace and Justice Center is pjcsoco.org. So pjcsoco.org. The third annual concert in the Hub is Saturday, September 8th, in the La Plaza Park, downtown Cotati, and it's from 12:30 to 6. It's absolutely free. It is a family-friendly community event. There will be some vendors. Women's Spaces will be there. There'll be a food truck, so you can purchase a little item and maybe have your picnic on the grass. And I just want to give out a shout-out to the band. So we have Midnight Sun, Funk and Roll, Dream Farmers, Hubbub Club, the DJs, DJ Loisaida, and our very own at KBBF, DJ Broken Record, will be joining us as well.
Oh, Edgar's going to
yes,
be joining us.
Yes, very exciting.
Hey, Edgar. That's, by the way, Broken Record is before my show on Mondays, and also Edgar Avila is our program director, and he also does Broken Record. Great, by the way, great show. Turn in tonight at 9 o'clock.
Yep, and then I just want to say also a big thank you to Prairie Sun Live, who is donating their sound equipment. So not only are all the musicians and the DJs donating their time, but also to get a really prestigious sound company to donate is saying something, that people really care about what we're doing there. So I welcome everybody to join us, and I look forward to seeing you that day. Any questions, you can reach me at the Peace and Justice Center at www.pjcsoco.org. Thank you, Elaine.
Well, thank you, Shekinah. And I have to add, after listening to all this stuff, I'm so glad you're my friend.
I'm glad you're my friend as well.
Anyway, hey, this is Women's Spaces. You know, women do things very differently. You know, we're friendly, loving, kind. Anyway, thank you so much, Shekinah.
Thank you.
We're going to be taking a musical break, and I will be playing, with the song I'm going to be playing is Get Together, sung by Ann Wilson. And when I return, I will be talking with Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence, CEO and founder of Legacy Showcase, and we're going to be talking about the discussion group on racism that's going to be at the main library this evening. And Ken and I will definitely be there, so if you want to meet Ken and you want to meet me, come on down, and we're going to take this musical break, and I think this is perfect. Let's go ahead with Ann Wilson, Get Together. Okay, so we're going to have to...
Love is but a song we sing. Fear's the way we die.
Come on, people, get together, love your brother right now. You're going to have a chance. You're going to have a chance. We're going to be talking about that. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And with me in the studio, I have one of my favorite people, Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence. Welcome, Jacqueline. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Hello, Miss Elaine. It is such a pleasure to be here today.
Well, you call me Miss Elaine. I want to call you Dr. Jackie.
Oh, well, call me whatever you want to. Just be careful.
Anyway, welcome. I want to tell my folks just a little bit about you, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence is the CEO of it's called Legacy
Legacy Showcases.
Legacy Showcases. She is the she has a bachelor's degree from business administration from Tuskegee University and a master's degree in theology and doctorate degree in Christian counseling from Sacramento Theology Seminary. Excuse me. An author, playwright, actress, singer, and founder and CEO of Legacy Showcase, a Black history production company which features Harris Chronicle Group, pop-up museum, theatrical presentations, and workshops and events. Lawrence is dedicated to reviving the legacy of her enslaved ancestors and providing
reparations
to your people in the area of education, empower, and inspiration. And I want to apologize to you. Jacqueline was sitting outside, and we didn't tell. One of the things I have to do is everything you learn on my, when I book my guests, I say just walk in. So I apologize for that.
Next time I'll know.
Jacqueline, talk about Legacy Showcase and some of the plays you wrote and performed.
Okay, well, like you mentioned, Legacy Showcases was started back in 2015 in honor of the hope and dream of the African slaves, my ancestors. And I am a descendant, and there are so many who are beneficiaries. All of us who live in this country are beneficiaries of my once enslaved ancestors. Who work for free in on this land, and I can go on and on and on. But
and they weren't volunteers.
No, they weren't volunteers. No. And I just want to honor them because I believe that they deserve to be honored. So I want to honor them with my talents, and I love performing, and I've always performed at various Black history events as a solo artist, and I wanted to bring other people in because other people other than myself are passionate about singing some of the slave songs that were that birthed gospel music, jazz, R&B, even rock and roll, just some of the traditions and the food and the, you know, the going to church, the worshiping that my people did, just bringing over Africa to the plantations to today. And some of my productions are Unshackle, which we just did at the Juneteenth celebration.
Right, and I saw that one.
Right, and we've done The Spirit of Us. I have the African American Underground Railroad pop-up museum that, you know, displays African American history and culture. So that's basically what our productions consist of.
Well, I'm sorry that time runs out on us. But,
right.
But you're doing something extremely, and I do with a capital E, extremely important tonight, and that you're going to be opening a conversation about racism. You're going to put it on the table, and those who participate to have an opportunity to talk about it. And I had the privilege of seeing the play Unshackled, and the thing that really got to me about the play is that I all of a sudden understanding what freedom meant to your people when it happened, that most people didn't even know how to handle freedom, and it was a process within its own entity. And there's something that you wrote that I just want you to comment, and then we'll give the information about how people can listen and participate. And I would invite you back on. I want to talk more about legacy and about some of your plays, because folks, they are fascinating. So let me read this to you. You title it "No More Avoiding It." The word shackle means to change or to keep bound. We are all shackled by chains that have us bound in various areas of our life. These chains may be a result of fear, negative or supreme thoughts of who we are, unforgiveness, hatred, or other areas which restrict our freedom to accept, understand, and unite with one another. Very powerful statement. How do you see that in the discussion? Why? What brings that to the discussion? Why do you think that's important?
So, Elaine, it's not just Black people who are shackled. It's white people. It's Mexicans. We all have our biases. And we all have our experiences. And a lot of times we put people in a box and say that all black people are one way and all white people are one way. And that's what causes us to hate. So we gotta slowly get out of that box. And how we get out of that box is by hearing each other's understanding and embracing our differences and our similarities, by gaining an understanding of who we are as individuals. There's no one black person. There's no one white person. We're all different, Elaine. And so we need to release those chains that have us bound, that prevent us from living together in peace and harmony in this land.
Oh, you know, you just gave me the chills.
I gave myself chills.
No, you just gave me the chills. I mean, that is so, I mean, folks, come on, we got to get together. We got to love one another. We got to live together. We live on this earth, this planet earth. Well, people are going to have an opportunity to talk about it. So give us the information.
So come to the Sonoma County Library in Santa Rosa, the East Street branch. I believe the address is 211. Is it East Street or D Street? 211.
It's 211 East Street.
211 East Street. At 6:30 tonight, we're going to talk about it. We're going to start the ball rolling. We're going to build from there. We're going to learn and we're going to share with other people so that hopefully this unshackled phenomena will just roll all over Sonoma County and throughout the world.
Well, Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence, thank you so much for sharing this with us. I encourage people to come down to the library. It's on East Street here in Santa Rosa, downtown Santa Rosa at 6:30. We're going to have a really lively discussion. And knowing Jacqueline, I know it's going to be lively. Well, folks, you've been listening to Women's Spaces. I want to thank from the bottom of my heart Shekinah Black, coordinator for the Peace and Justice Center, and also Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence, CEO and founder of Legacy Showcase, who's having a free discussion group on racism at the main library that's on East Street in Santa Rosa this evening. A very timely topic and one all of us need to be talking about at this time. I'm looking forward to that conversation, and like I said, Ken and I will be there. Reminder, tell your friends, Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. tonight. That's Monday night. I'm really excited. I get to listen to myself. Anyway, we're just about the end of our show. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
The woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, August 28th, 2018.